भूता पुनर्दीनतो नाम तस्य महात्मैकान्तपदायनस्य योऽनन्तशक्तिर्भगवानन्तो महद्गुणात्पाद्यमनन्तमाहु। And want to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called Ananta, unlimited. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Dvija Bandhu, or the less intelligent, uncultured men born of higher castes, put forward many arguments against the lower caste men becoming Brahmins in this life. They argue that birth in a family of Shudras, or less than Shudras, is made possible by one's previous sinful acts, and that one therefore has to complete the terms of disadvantages due to lower birth. And to answer these false logicians, Srimad Bhagavatam asserts that one who chants the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get free from the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth. A pure devotee of the Lord does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name. There are 10 different offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord is transcendental, and therefore such chanting can at once purify one from the effects of all kinds of previous sins. The offenseless chanting indicates that one has fully understood the transcendental nature of the holy name and has thus surrendered unto the Lord. Transcendentally, the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are identical, being absolute. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord. The Lord is the all-powerful personality of Godhead, and He has innumerable names, which are all non-different from Him and are equally powerful also. In the last word of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that one who fully surrenders unto Him is protected from all sins by the grace of the Lord. Since His name and He Himself are identical, the holy name of the Lord can protect the devotee from all effects of sins. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord can undoubtedly deliver one from the disadvantages of a lower caste birth. The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited expansion of the devotees and incarnation. And thus, every devotee of the Lord and incarnations can be equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. Since the devotee is surcharged with the potency of the Lord, even fractionally, the disqualification due to lower birth cannot stand in the way. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy names of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency, the personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called Ananta. In this purport, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, is putting great emphasis on the power of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead upon anyone who opens their hearts to receive it. In this material world, there is an endless cycle of actions and reactions due to our karmic activities. But Krishna tells us in Gita, Sarva Dharman Purityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masacha. If we surrender to Him, He relieves us of all sinful reactions. Those who do not have proper faith in the power of the mercy of the Lord evaluate the phenomenal world simply according to the karmic conditions of actions and reactions. To take a lower birth is assumed to be the reaction of previous sins. Therefore, Prabhupada is quoting that many Brahmins, they believe that you simply have to suffer in this lower birth until you die. And through the process of suffering, you will purify yourself of the previous sins, and then in your next birth, it may be possible to take a higher birth and have the privileges of that existence. But according to our shastras, one who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially through the process of chanting His holy names, can rise above all of these material considerations. Aho patasvapachotogariyam. The Bhagavatam describes the glory of the holy name, that even if one is born in family of chandalas, lower than Sudra, if he is sincerely chanting the holy names according to the directions of the pure devotees, then that person is considered to be topmost human being. It is to be considered that he has already gone to all holy places of pilgrimage. He's performed all types of pious activities. He's executed all the different types of sacrifices. The shastras explain that such a person who genuinely takes shelter of the holy name, even if born in family of chandalas, actually has the power to deliver the entire world. But a Brahman who is not such a devotee cannot even deliver himself, but to speak of others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar. He has especially come for the purpose to teach what is the proper understanding of true religion in this age of Kali Yuga. The Yuga Avatar teaches the Yuga Dharma. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranjata. Only by the chanting of the holy names can one be truly delivered to the ultimate platform of liberation in this age of Kali. Kalo Shudra Sambhave. In this age of Kali, virtually everyone is born as a Shudra at the best. It is only by performing purificatory processes that we can be elevated from that system. However, the holy name has the power to elevate one to the highest platform. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make such an emphatic statement to human society, knowing their tendency. The person that he personally selected to be the Nam Acharya, the Acharya of the chanting of the holy name, the Yuga Dharma Acharya, was born in an untouchable outcast family, Srila Haridas Thakur. He could have given that position to so many of the learned caste Brahmins that were following him. But he specially empowered Haridas Thakur, and our acharyas explain why. Because he wanted to teach the world the power of the chanting of the holy name, and that one should be classified according to his qualities, not according to simply his birth. Haridas Thakur endured so many problems. He was born in an Islamic family. Therefore, the Brahmins considered him an untouchable outcast. There is a story where one very highly learned, respected Brahmin challenged Haridas Thakur in an assembly of other such learned Brahmins who were studying the Shastras very carefully. They said, "What nonsense! You are simply destroying our religion by your very existence. Why you are chanting the holy names of the Lord loudly? These mantras must be chanted silently within one's own heart. Where in the scriptures does it say to chant loudly? You are simply causing the ruination of our Vedic culture by taking these sacred mantras and letting the common people hear them. This is offensive to the Lord." Haridas Thakur was very, very learned in the Vedic scriptures. He quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Narasimha Purana, from various Puranas, from the Shastras, from the Upanishads, to substantiate that chanting the holy names of the Lord loudly was 100 times more powerful than chanting softly to oneself. How chanting the holy names of the Lord quietly can deliver you, but to chant the holy names loudly can deliver not only you, but to all living beings who hear the sound vibration. And the Lord is pleased by such an act of compassion. He cited such Vedic evidence. That Brahman became so angry and offended, he just screamed out in rage, "Just see what the scriptures speak of is coming true, that in the age of Kali, low class, untouchable outcasts will be trying to teach the highly learned caste Brahmins." Haridas Thakur saw that they couldn't hear a single word that he was saying because of their false pride. So he just smiled and walked away. What could he do? And as he was walking away, they were condemning him What is this outcast doing, trying to become a Hindu, a teacher? So he was rejected by so many of the Brahmins of the Vedic school. And amongst the Muslims, they rejected him too. The Qazi, he went to the king and said, this person who's born in our high-class Muslim caste, he is taking to the ways of a low-born, abominable Hindu and reading their scriptures. So the king brought him in. The king said to him, "You are so fortunate. You are from such an illustrious family. Why you are acting like such a low-class person? Why you are reading, studying, and teaching from those rejected scriptures?" Haridas laughed. Can you imagine? He laughed in the face of the king. He said, "Aha! Just see the power of Maya. There's only one God, the same God that is described in the Quran as Allah, is described in the Vedas as Ram or Krishna. And the ultimate goal of life is to understand that one God is all merciful, all pervading, and he is all compassionate, to love him and to serve him. So that one God is inspiring me from within my heart to chant his name of Krishna." So they told him, if you simply live by your own religion, we will honor you. But if you continue this nonsense, we will kill you. You can cut my body into millions of pieces, but you can never stop me from chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So they sentenced him to death. They beat him in 22 marketplaces. The only people that appreciated Haridas Thakur were the Vaishnavas. The highest Brahmin in the whole community of Shantipur was Sri Advaita Prabhu. And when it came to offering the Shraddha Patra ceremony, all the most learned, distinguished Brahmins of the area came to attend. And right in the presence of all of them, he gave the first honor and respect to Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur felt so totally unqualified. "I'm just a dog. Why you are treating me like this?" Advaitacharya said, "By feeding you, I am feeding hundreds of millions of Brahmins." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make this statement. And he personally, in the entire Leela of Lord Chaitanya, the highest dialogue of transcendental subject matter was discussed between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. And Ramananda Rai was considered to be a Shudra. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who happened to be of the highest caste of Brahmins, he was born of Nilambar Chakravarti's grandson, he was a sannyasi, but yet he's inquiring from Ramananda Rai on the highest truths and submissively hearing from him, from a Shudra by birth, by occupation. And Ramananda Rai was saying, "I am just a low-born Shudra. What can I speak to you?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, such a great Brahmin, guru of the king, he told me I should hear from you. I am simply a Mayavadi sannyasi, drowning in the misconceptions of impersonalism. Mahaprabhu was very humble. Such a statement to the world. And following in this line, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he literally declared war against these materialistic designations. And because of that, his life was threatened. People were telling that they were going to murder him, to kill him, because he was giving mantras to people who were not Brahmin. He was giving sannyas to people who were not born in Brahmin families. He was very, very strong. And in his line came His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who defended his disciples with his very life. Srila Prabhupada had complete faith in the true conclusions of the scriptures, what we are reading today. That anyone who surrenders to the chanting of the holy names under the direction of the pure devotees of the Lord, they become completely purified by the unlimited potencies of the Lord. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasvigraha. Krishna is non-different than his name. To surrender to the holy name is to surrender to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada very carefully explains what it means to surrender to the holy name. It means to chant and to live under the direction of the pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada explains to chant under the directions of the great acharyas, that is offenseless chanting. If we're not under the directions of such acharyas, it is impossible to chant offenselessly. We see there are many, many people who are chanting the holy names, but it is not impossible, but it's very, very rare. They do not have a proper conception of God. They do not have a proper conception of the holy name. They do not understand the real spirit or attitude of service. Therefore, their chanting has minimal effect. And they're bound to commit offenses. But the great souls, they teach us how to have a proper state of consciousness by which we can chant offenselessly. And therefore, it is so very, very important to accept a spiritual master. That is why in the line of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, we take initiation into the chanting. The essence of the initiation into chanting of the holy name is to actually surrender to the spiritual master's instructions in how to live in such a way that Krishna will be pleased by my chanting of the holy names. And when Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas and brahminical initiation to people born in other countries who were not within the Hindu castes, he was very much criticized by even some very famous and popular speakers of the Bhagavatam. One of the most popular Bhagavat Katha persons would criticize Prabhupada. He cannot give Brahmin initiation or sannyas to people who are born outside of the Hindu tradition. Just like an onion, this is his example. You can, no matter how many times you peel off the skin of an onion, it still will smell like an onion. It's their birth. It's their nature. So speaking from Bhagavatam, but here Bhagavatam is explaining, even if you're a chandala, anything, you take shelter of the holy name, you can deliver the whole universe. Be the best of the Brahmins. So Prabhupada had that faith, and therefore he fearlessly took the banner of Mahaprabhu, Srila Saraswati Thakur, and preached throughout the world, and gave great encouragement. In fact, in one place in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya specially sent his associates to take birth in outcast families in the Western world just to spread the holy name to every town and village. So Srila Prabhupada had a perception that was truly based on the real conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is this faith in the instruction of Guru and Gauranga and his faith in the holy name of Krishna that it emanated from his heart to give every living entity the chance to perfect their lives, go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada wanted his books distributed all over the world. And especially it's very important that his books be distributed here in India. Because although people in India all feel that they know Krishna, they have such intense misconceptions. But Srila Prabhupada's books shine like the sun to dispel all darkness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.